This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the Morning Run. You're with Julian Lin and Xiaoning Ann. The Banda Malaysia project has been revived. This is a 486-acre integrated property development project that was linked to the very embattled 1MDB. And we have a poll that's running on our Twitter site at BFM Radio. We're asking the question, how do you feel about the revival of Banda Malaysia? And a good half of you, slightly less than half, are indifferent, don't care what happens to Banda Malaysia. About 122 have voted. I suppose this is a fairly decent sample size, 122 of our listeners.
Yes, 22% say it needs to go on, 17% say they're happy about it, and another 16% are unhappy about it. Now, if you remember, the Banda Malaysia development was meant to be the terminus for the high-speed rail between KL and Singapore, and it was called off in 2017 by the previous administration. So the official reason that was given was that ICSB didn't make good on its payments. So ICSB is the joint venture vehicle for Iskandar Waterfront Holdings and China Railway Engineering Corp. So that was supposed to be the project's master developer. So ICSB allegedly didn't make good on its payment obligations for its 60% stake, a claim which they have disputed. Prime Minister Dato' Sri Najib Razak then pitched the project to Dalian Wanda, a Fortune 500 Chinese company, but was unsuccessful and it was abandoned.
And now our Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir said that investigations have revealed that the project has the potential to benefit the Malaysian economy and serve as a global hub to attract high-impact global finance, technology and entrepreneurial firms.
So the project's existing master developer, the IWH-CREC joint venture, will pick up where they left off the last time when the project was called off in May 2017. And here is the Prime Minister commenting about the project.
They have been unfairly terminated. Actually, the company, the contractor to develop this Banda Malaysia is partly government. 40% belongs to the government. So if we open tender, we may not get. Somebody else may get. But we have been unfair to them. So we have decided to restitute them and give them the chance to develop Banda Malaysia. But it will change. We will include 10,000 affordable housing. We will have a park there. And we'll use Malaysian material for the development of this Banda Malaysia.
I think that's interesting when the Prime Minister says that they have been unfairly treated. This is a slight departure from the quite testy relationships with some of the Chinese contractors in the earlier days of Pakatan Harapan taking power. And the IWH-CREC is reportedly committed to making additional advance payments of 500 million ringgit in addition to the original deposit of 741 million ringgit. So almost 1.2 billion thrown into the project.
I think there are a lot of questions still remaining, right, Julian? Because the Prime Minister has said, okay, 10,000 affordable housing is going to be added to it. There's going to be a park, but how big is the park? Where are we going to see the affordable housing? How much? You know, I think there's been also a question of how the GDP is going to change with the addition of affordable housing into
it's actually
the
come
project,
down.
Right?
The GDP come down, has yeah. come down from I think original 150 billion to now 144 billion. But my bigger question
it's still
is,
huge.
It's huge.
I mean, it's gigantic. Mm. Well, 140 billion worth of property real estate to be sold.
It's over 486 acres, which is substantial. I mean, it's the old Sungai Besi Air Force grounds. What would be interesting is how they plan to roll out the project. Because currently, we are facing an oversupply situation in terms of property
yes.
development, right?
Mm-hmm.
Except for affordable housing, which I think there definitely is a need there. But every other type of property development seems to be facing a glut, whether it's office, office and commercial, and even high-end.
So the question is, how do you put affordable housing into prime land? Because if you want to price something at, let's say, 300,000, 500,000, you're talking about shoe boxes, right? Not necessarily suitable for the, let's say, the B40 families, households that want a bigger space.
Well, actually, I think we should look at the UK model, right? Which actually, for most of the developers, for the large developers, there is an affordable household requirement. And they're actually part of that location. So let's say even Battersea, there will be some element of affordable housing. But of course, what will happen is usually they will be at the fringes.
Okay, so at the fringes, the main products will then be the normal products, which are, in effect, part of the oversupply, part of the stock and unsold inventory right now that the government is trying to clear for property developers.
Well,
right?
If it's priced rightly, I don't think there'll be. I think there'll be demand. I guess it's just down to how much are they going to price these affordable houses at. Of course, these affordable houses won't have the luxuries of a condominium, but, you know.
To get an insight on how this will affect the stock markets and the capital markets, we now turn to Loong Chee Wei, who's Senior Associate Director at Affin Capital. Good morning, Chee Wei, and thanks for joining us. How much funds are involved in this project, and what is the Bandar Malaysia project valued at?
Good morning. Well, if you look at the announcement, the press statement from the government, IWH CREC joint venture, is taking a 60% stake in Bandar Malaysia project by investing around 7.4 billion ringgit as equity. The initial payment would be 1.24 billion. That would be the equity portion. But in terms of future funds, I think they would have to raise borrowings or bonds to actually fund this project. If you look at the gross development value, I understand that it has been reduced to 140 billion ringgit from previously it was 200 billion ringgit. I think because it includes affordable housing, which is an essential part of this development to make it socially acceptable. And also because there will be quite a lot of new projects or components added to it, like the People's Park.
Now, Chee Wei, could you tell us what is the funding model for the project at the moment?
There's no specific funding model disclosed, but this is a property development project. So basically, you would have to inject equity investments, but the large part of it typically is funded by bank borrowings or long-term bonds. There will be separate components where the funding structure is different as well, because if you talk about housing, generally you just need working capital. But in terms of components, like if there's going to be commercial properties, then you might even have to invest in those properties and raise separate funding. Of course, there's always opportunities for these individual components. You can form separate joint ventures with other property developers to bring in more funds.
Which stocks are poised to gain from this announcement?
There are no direct listed companies that will likely benefit from this at this point in time because Iskandar Waterfront Holdings is a private company owned by Tan Sri Dato Lim Kang Hu. And basically, there was previously a plan to actually inject his private company into Iskandar Waterfront City. But that was cancelled because this project was cancelled. So if this project was reinstated and the plan still goes ahead, then it could benefit Iskandar Waterfront City, and that would be the main property developer for this project. Other projects, once this project kicks off, then you will need anything from engineering consultants, contractors, piling companies, and even a supplier for building materials. So in my view, there are a lot of potential beneficiaries for this, like engineering consultants. It will be HHS engineers that is a very reputable engineering consultant company. There's also contractors that are already quite active in the area, like Tunazak Exchange. This would be like IGM Corporation. The others would be WCT Holdings, Sunway Construction, and even for Gamuda, because Gamuda is actually supposed to build two stations in Bandar Malaysia for the MRT Sungai Buloh Serdang Putrajaya line, this MRT line too. And if the project is reinstated, then that two stations may also be added back in. And also there are other piling companies that may benefit, like Econpile or even building material suppliers like Lafarge in terms of cement.
And Chee Wei, does the revival of this project also suggest that the high-speed rail project from KL to Singapore will be revived as well, since Bandar Malaysia is supposed to be the terminus for that HSR?
I believe that's a separate issue, because the high-speed rail is a development by the Singapore and Malaysia, and it's a government-to-government project. So in terms of a potential partner, it's still uncertain because Malaysia hasn't decided to proceed with the project. It has been deferred to May 2020 in terms of decision on that. If they decide to go ahead, then there's a possibility that they will find a partner, or they could actually fund it by themselves between the two governments.
Thank you so much. And that was Loong Chee Wei, Senior Associate Director with Affin Hwang Capital.
Yeah, just listening to Chee Wei, right, it seems to say that there will be a lot of beneficiaries for this construction project, right? Because the GDV, he says, is 140 billion. But my question about this project is, how is our market going to absorb all this new development, right? Because we have many projects ongoing in the KL area. TRX, for example, is not even half built, and we have a long way to go. And we have existing office space in KL City, which is also pretty empty. So I think we need to really look at the supply of property coming onto the market in a holistic manner.
Mm-hmm. I think maybe a home ownership campaign number two, right? Just to clear all the stocks that are coming out from all these mega projects. Okay, in a related matter, to reduce 1MDB debts of over 30 billion ringgit, the government is proposing to convert about 2.4 billion ringgit bonds held by Kumpulan Wang Persaraan or KWAP and Tabung Haji into equity stakes in Bandar Malaysia.
Now, the value of the 1MDB debt papers to be converted is roughly 3 billion ringgit, and these are bonds held by both KWAP and Tabung Haji. Once converted, the two will end up among the stakeholders of Bandar Malaysia. Now, the 2.4 billion ringgit sukuk held by the two issued in 2014 will be redeemed for 3 billion ringgit under the terms, and the debt papers were issued in two tranches, generating yields of 5.85% and 6.05% for 7 and 10 years respectively.
And if we rewind, the 1MDB debts, the government has so far, actually, Ministry of Finance actually paid 1.3 billion ringgit worth of interest payments on behalf of 1MDB. And another 810 million ringgit will be due between September and November last year. So it's quite substantial. So I can imagine the logic of converting this debt into equity stakes in this Bandar Malaysia.
Yeah, that's right. So in effect, the government doesn't have to cough any cash out to take over, to convert the debt. They just pay in equity into Bandar Malaysia. And I remember when the Tabung Haji saga and controversy was going on about their illegal dividend payments, the new CEO came out to say that they want to focus on more conservative investments, being an Islamic institution. They want to focus on conservative investment. And I'm not sure Bandar Malaysia actually fits into that category of conservative investment. It looks like a high-risk, high-return project to me.
I don't know about high-risk and high-return, but I think they'll have
maybe
to...
Maybe high-risk only.
No, I think they have to wait quite a long time before you see any investment returns, right? Because a project of this size will take quite a long time to get off ground. You're talking at least 5 years before you see the first building. So
Yeah, that's right. It's a long gestation period. And in effect, you have turned Tabung Haji as well as Co-op into essentially a private equity or venture capital company, where investing in this kind of project requires a lot of patience.
Yes.
So interestingly, our former Prime Minister has also weighed in on this decision by the Pakatan Harapan administration, and he's called, so Dato Sri Najib Razak has called this revival of Bandar Malaysia yet another U-turn by the government. So, and this is coming after the recent news that the ECRL project is back on. So he says he can now recycle the criticisms that Pakatan Harapan politicians used to hurl at BN, so that they're selling off the country, that it's a shady project, that we're bowing to China, all that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, this is the kind of thing he would say is his kind of trademark. Also, on EPF, right? I wonder what EPF would have to say about this project, whether they want to be involved, because EPF is known to invest in direct real estate projects.
Yes, it's part of their initiatives, but maybe they've got their hands full with Battersea at
because
the moment.
They're looking for more returns, right? That 6.15% returns last year was a bumper year. And how is EPF going to get this kind of returns again if not for sourcing for very high return projects? The listed companies would, especially local listed companies, would not give you those kind of
returns.
That's
why they said they are going overseas. They want to maximize the...
They're at the max, though. They're already at 30% cap. So I think right now, focusing on more direct deals. Right?
Yeah, and also looking at private equity is the other way
private
that they're
equity.
Looking
so,
to increase their returns.
Perhaps Bandar Malaysia for EPF. Okay, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.